My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You are listening to the On Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Lieberman, lawyer for entrepreneurs, founder of Hashtag Legal, and your go-to resource for all things legal and business strategy. In my 16 years of practicing law, my clients have come to me with some of the most unexpected questions. You would not believe some of the things that I hear. In this podcast, I will identify and explain the issues in your business where legal and business strategy intersect, using real-world experiences and interviews with leading experts. You will get a behind-the-scenes sneak peek into the real-life successes and failures of business owners with my analysis of the things we did right and the things we could do better. So sit back and relax and get ready to learn in the most un-business way possible. Welcome to episode 10, season 2 of the Unbusiness Podcast. I cannot believe how we are coming to the end of this negotiation season. We've covered so much ground and I've given so much thought because this is my last real solo episode where I'm going to do a deep dive into a negotiation topic. We have another interview coming up and then I'm going to do a wrap-up episode and then season 2 will be done, which is crazy because I feel like I remember when I just sat down with Don to talk about even launching this podcast. So thank you to everybody who's been listening and I hope it's been helpful. We've definitely seen a little jump in listenership, which is really exciting. So hopefully this is helping people and it's getting to you where you need to go with negotiation. And season 1 hopefully helped you with conflict management, important skills that everybody needs in their business. So hopefully we're giving you good frameworks. I today have given a lot of thought to what I wanted to make my last topic about. And it's an interesting one because it's one that I actually don't lecture all that much about. When I talk about negotiation, I mention it, but I don't spend a lot of time on it. And I've been thinking about this because the overall theme of my season has been collaboration. And I think my overall theme of the entire podcast has been collaboration, the more that I think about it, because I talk about that in connection with conflict management and, spoiler alert, for season 3, we're definitely going to be talking more about collaboration. So stay tuned for what that topic is going to be. I've learned that collaboration is key for anything that we're doing in business. So much better than knocking heads with somebody and having difficult times. And just, we don't want that. We don't want those really tumultuous conflicts. We want collaboration. One of the topics that, like I said, I don't really spend a lot of time on, but is really interesting and is actually a really key component to negotiation is BATNA. And so anybody who's ever listened to me has definitely heard me talk about BATNA. A BATNA is a best alternative to a negotiated agreement. And you may think to yourself, like, why on earth would I ever be thinking about an alternative to a negotiated agreement if I'm trying and aiming to get an agreement, right? It sort of feels like we're being pessimists or we're looking at it from a negative perspective, but that isn't what it is at all. A BATNA is really important because it's a boundary. And I've definitely talked a lot about boundaries and how important boundaries are, but a BATNA is basically your alternative if the negotiations fall through. And why do we need to have that? Well, we need to have that because without an alternative, we don't have any negotiating power because we don't have space to say no. So I will beat this drum forever. If you can't say no or walk away from a deal, you might as well not negotiate because you have no negotiating power. That is really where it comes down to. what is my best alternative to this agreement? Where am I? What am I going to do if this doesn't come through? It basically provides our bottom level boundary. If things go here, let's say X factor, Y factor, if we hit that, we're walking away. We're really thinking about it in a spectrum. Sometimes I talk about it like a Venn diagram. If we think about all those circles, the middle ground is the area where we can kind of come together. Some people call that the zone of potential agreement. I mean, I think people who talk about negotiation just really love acronyms. They call it the ZOPA or the zone of potential agreement. Outside of that zone is usually kind of this line, right? If we think of it like a graph, we have the worst case scenario of one side, the worst case scenario of the other side. We have the best case scenario of both sides, and somewhere in the middle is collaboration. If there is no zone of potential agreement, then obviously we're not going to have a deal. The BATNA helps us really talk about what's our worst case scenario. Like, when are we actually going to walk away? It's a really important piece of information. And so you need to know yours. And it's really helpful if you know the other sides. It's really just one element of sort of the negotiating strategy that you're coming up with. You're thinking about lots of other things. And we've talked about that, right? We have to know our goals. We have to know what our best case scenario is. We have to know with like, where are we walking away? These parameters are always going to change. And the more we research and the more that we learn and the more that we understand, it might be a moving target. So negotiation obviously requires flexibility. But one of the really important pieces of information is like, what am I going to do if this doesn't work out? And what is the best alternative? Where am I going? And I'm going to give you like a really simple example to try to illustrate this, because I need examples. I'm not good with just when someone tells me something and I have to sort of listen to a definition. I'm far better when I have concrete examples. So I'm going to use a really simple one. I'm in this scenario, I'm going to pretend, and let's just say I need to buy a new car. Anybody who is looking for a new car right now knows that is the worst possible thing that you could be doing outside of renovating a house, which I'm also doing, and that stinks too, but that felt too personal. So we're going to talk about buying a car. So I need a car. And I found out that my neighbor is selling their car, and they're selling their car and their offer is for $10,000. So I start to look around, because what is the first thing we're going to do in a negotiation? But we're going to research. So I'm looking around and I see, you know, there's a couple of other cars posted out there. They're similar, maybe not exactly the same. They're similar, and they're around $7,500. So my BATNA, my best alternative to a negotiated agreement, is buying one of those other cars for $7,500. So now I know what's my bottom part of the boundary. If I can't get the car for less than $7,500, I'm walking away, because I have somewhere else I can go. So my range for payment, $7,500. I would love it to be less, right? Why wouldn't I? I'd really like to pay $5,000 for it. My neighbor is looking and he's saying to himself, okay, well, now I have this offer back from Jamie who said, I want to sell it for 10. And I came back and I said, I want to sell it. You know, I'll buy it for you for five, because that's really where I'm at. And the neighbor's kind of like, oh, that feels a little bit low. Let me look around. Maybe my $10,000 price doesn't make any sense. And he looks around and he sees, oh, well, I have some willing buyers at $8,000. So his walk away, his best alternative, is to sell it to somebody who's basically going to buy it for $8,000. So if we look at that example, mine is $7,500, his is $8,000. And this is us only talking about money currency. We're not talking about other things that we can negotiate to play around with the dollars. This is pure dollars for just an example, because it's easier. Here's the issue, right? If my neighbor's BATNA is $8,000 and mine is $7,500, we're just not going to come to a deal. There's no Venn diagram. We have two separate circles. But that sort of gives you an idea of how are we determining what our best alternative to a negotiated deal is. And we need to know what that is. Sometimes it's dollars. Sometimes it's other things, right? We've talked about there's lots of different currencies that we can negotiate. It's just when people think of negotiations, they think of money. So it's much easier for me to sort of give that illustration. There is a really good process that Harvard Law School created that talks about how you can develop the best alternative to a negotiated agreement. Because a lot of people, it's not as black and white as saying, oh, well, my neighbor's selling a Honda Civic for $10,000. And then I go and look on Craigslist or somewhere else. And I see that people are selling, you know, comparable Honda Civics for $7,500. That's easy. We can't always have that much data and research. And sometimes we have to get a little bit more clever than that. I don't want you to think it's as simple as just being able to do a little research for price. So there's this really interesting process that Harvard created that I think is really helpful to share. you basically want to think about all your alternatives, right? This is when we're going our doomsday. And sometimes the doomsday turns into, oh, wow, I have a lot of alternatives. Maybe some alternatives you didn't even realize. So list all the alternatives to the current negotiation. If you're talking about maybe negotiating with a client, maybe you could talk about picking up two other clients, doing two different things, or maybe you could talk about offering a package to an existing client. Like, we have alternatives. So what happens if the negotiation falls through? And so once we figure out what those alternatives are, we have to value each alternative. So if I have one client that's willing to pay me $10,000 for services, then if I say, oh, well, maybe this is a little bit tough and I don't know, but if I picked up two clients willing to pay me $5,000 for each for different services, then I'm in the same place. So what's the value of each alternative? And how much is that alternative worth to me? Maybe in my example, the $10,000 client is actually giving me work that I really want to do. And maybe the two $5,000 clients, that works a little bit. It's not my favorite, let's say. So it's not ideal, even though it will give me the same dollar amount. So you have to look at the value as well. You want to look and from your whole list of values, right? You want to look at your whole list of values and you want to think to yourself, well, what is the alternative that has the highest value? So maybe the alternative with the highest value for me in this scenario is going back to an existing client and trying to upsell them a little bit or add on services or revisit them and say, hey, I have this new product. Are you interested? And maybe I'm more interested in that because then I get to work with a client I know and I get to do some version of these new services. So think about the alternative that provides the highest value to you. And then when you determine it, you basically want to calculate the lowest value deal you're willing to accept. That's your like bare bones BATNA. This is the lowest value. This is if I'm willing to accept this, if my current negotiations go below the value of this lowest value deal, I got to walk away. So to recap, we're going to list our alternatives. We're going to evaluate the value of each alternative. We're going to select the alternative that provides the highest value. And then we're going to calculate the lowest value deal that I'd actually accept. And that gives us our BATNA. So that's a really good framework and a really good process. And the interesting thing is, not only do you want to determine your own BATNA, but through your research and your questions, we got to go back to our framework. You got to want to try to figure out what the other side's BATNAs is. This is going to actually help you frame the negotiation. And this helps us get more clever. So if we know what their alternatives are, we know when they're able to walk away too. So that's really, really important. And really the ideal way to use the BATNA, this is what gives you negotiating power, is to let the other side know that you have one. That's really important. If they don't know that it's out there, and knowing when to say what your BATNA is, that's also really helpful. That's a bit of a practice skill. So I want you to be thinking about this. Like, when do I drop this bomb? When I say, you know what? Like, I'd really love to do this deal with you. This deal isn't all, this is really ideal and I'd love it, but I have this option too. So if we can't make this work, I'm going to have to go with this other option. And that's okay with me too. You certainly don't want to let the other side think that they're not valuable and that you don't value the potential deal, but you basically also need to let them know that there are alternatives and you do have negotiating power. So it's important balance in how you want to bring that up, because we obviously want to always continue to be collaborative, but it is really important for the other side to know, because they don't want to negotiate against themselves. And frankly, if there's no way for you guys to get to this like agreement, then why are we wasting time? So it is kind of important if we know that our boundaries just don't have any overlap at all. That's really key. So you have to think about that. And you know, there are a lot of tips that I want you to think about and remember when you're coming up with your BATNA. You have to think really critically about it. You have to make sure that you're being honest with yourself about what is an actual alternative. I will also say that the more alternatives that you have, if you come up with a laundry list of them, the less likely you're going to need them, because you have all these other options. And once you feel like you have options, it really lets you relax into the negotiation. The negotiation doesn't feel as stressful or as tense. This is actually really good for your mental state as well, to come up with and think to yourself, like, these are what my alternatives are. When you are desperate, when you need a deal to go through, when it is life or death, it just doesn't work. And the other side is absolutely going to sense that. There are lots of different types as well. We can have short-term, we can have long-term. You have to think about it, because if you don't have a bat night, like I said, you have to come to an agreement. So if you find yourself in that position, you need to step back and think to yourself, I need to come up with some long-term alternatives. So if you find yourself, it's a really good learning moment. If you are in that position where you're taking a client that you don't really want to take because you kind of have to, you need to sit down and come up with some contingency plans that will allow you to have these alternatives to negotiated agreements, because it'll give you a little bit of comfort and it'll give you a little bit of security. The last thing that I really want everyone to remember is just remember and be graceful in how you talk about your BATNA. Make sure that you use them more advisory than necessarily as a threat. If you use them as a threat, it's just going to damage the relationship. Using them to educate the other side, to help them understand just where it is that you're coming from. You know, you don't want to basically say to them like, I don't need you. This is garbage. Don't worry about it. Let's move on, because the other side will call your bluff. But you do need to use it to educate them, to help them understand what your different options are. And I'll say that even in my own business, when I was able to sort of not feel the pressure of having to close every deal, it made more deals come my way. So knowing that I had other things in the pipeline, and knowing that if one deal didn't close, another one probably would, that in an odd way, it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it allowed me to close a lot more deals. Make sure that, you know, your BATNA is solid, that it's well-researched and it's well thought of, and it's an actual alternative, and make sure of that. When you're really coming up with your BATNA, it's just a really important tool. And I think it's something that a lot of people overlook because we're afraid to say no. Go back to our mindset in negotiation of both our interview and also my solo episode, to go back to why might I be afraid to say no. And think about that, because saying no, again, it gives you power and it gives you confidence. Just because you can say no doesn't mean that you want to. And just because you can say no doesn't mean you don't really want this deal and it won't be a really big deal. Because like I said, there's a lot of different currencies in deals. So you're not just talking about that $10,000. Maybe you're talking about a really amazing client that would look great as a testimonial, or maybe working with this client would be a really great referral source for you. That is part of your currencies. So don't forget that. But when you're setting your best alternative to a negotiated agreement, make sure you have written it down, you understand it, it is viable, and you're willing to use it. And that takes courage, and that's okay. It comes with practice. So this is a really great tool, and I hope that you guys use it, and I hope that you really think long and hard, because it also helps really well with contingency planning in your business. If you're thinking about like, where are my alternatives if a deal that I really want breaks down, or what if I lose a client and I'm not able to negotiate my way back? You know, what are my alternatives out there, so I can make sure that I can withstand something like that happening? So think about that as part of your contingency planning, as well as your negotiation strategy. I hope this was helpful and that you guys will take our little processes and some of our examples and you can put it into practice. I'd love to hear all about how you create your BATNA and if you have an interesting way to do it, or if you have some unique BATNAs, because sometimes they are not what you would think that they are. Maybe sometimes it's, if I don't take this client, I'll take a vacation. How about that? That's kind of a cool BATNA. So on that note, that I'm thinking about a vacation, which I'm very much excited to be going on pretty soon, because the beach is my happy place and I will be going there. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode and you enjoy the rest of your day. We have two more episodes in the season until we make our announcement for season 3. So if you enjoyed this episode, and if you're enjoying this podcast, we would love it if you would leave us a review. Any stars would be helpful. And tell your friends. The more listenership is up, the more I'm actually able to continue bringing this podcast. So if you love the podcast, we'd love it if you'd share it, if you'd follow us, if you'd like it, send an email, send a comment. I'd love to hear what you're interested in hearing about. Thanks so much, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. We would love if you would subscribe and review this podcast and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you'd like to get in touch with Jamie, you can email her at info@hashtag-legal.com, all spelled out, or find her on social media on Instagram at #_legal, all spelled out, and YouTube at Jamie Lieberman Rocks. Thanks so much and have an amazing week.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.